You know, sometimes in worship, we reach times where it appears like there's just a huge disconnect between what we've just sung or said and the next thing that follows. Never has it been greater than that song and the first line in my message. At any given time, what's the average distance between any person and a rat? Now, I don't want the jokers among you looking at the person beside you. There's not none of that. We're at church. I know that the common thing is 6 feet. Now, if it is 6 feet, we've got a problem in this building at the moment, I tell you. It's 30 metres, the average distance at any given time in this country between a person and a rat. It's 30 metres. So we're all safe. Stop looking around. We're going to look a bit about distance. Bit of a quiz. You can shout out the answers in this bit if you wish. There's no problem. What's the distance between West Auckland and the centre of London? A long way. Yeah, we've had 260 miles. We're doing it in miles. All money. 250. Who said that? Oh, 249.93 miles. 0.07 out. What's the distance between London and Sydney, Australia? Oh, we've got a joker in. In miles? Hang on, we've had a 12,000. We're homing in here. 8,000. Who said 11.5? Close. Stephen? 11,005. Any advance in 11.5? No. Going, God. The answer is 10,500 miles. A few more. What's the we're getting further here. What's the distance between the Earth and the Moon? We've had a 500,000. We've had 124,000. We've had two 250,000s. Definitely the closest. 238,856 miles. I'm going home. All right, what's the distance between the Earth and the Sun? 93 million miles. That's not bad. Yeah, 92,955,807, but we're ish. Yeah, 93 million-ish miles. That's pretty good. Right. $92,000-ish with a big ish. There we go. What's the distance between God and you right now? So I've had a zero, I've had a nothing. I'm equating those to being the same thing. I think you're saying very, very close. What's the distance between you and God right now? Not as close, depends how I'm feeling. God is amazing. He promises. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always close to us. That's why I asked that question that way around first. And you got the right answer. The second answer is a little more difficult. It's a different question. The distance between you, me, us, and God right now. So I googled stories about distance. I just put in distance. And pretty much every single return on the first page of Google covered, do long distance relationships work? And I just googled about distance. And clearly there's a lot of people asking, because the returns are generally based on the popularity and the numbers of people asking, do long distance relationships work? Now, of course, they were all about miles. Distance in miles, hence the first questions. We usually equate distance in miles. As soon as I ask the questions about us and God and God and us, we're not talking about miles anymore. We're talking about other things, but what are we talking about? So I was looking in Scripture this week, and this is what obviously prompted this sermon, reading things, and I seem to be reading things with the word distance or if you use an older version of the Bible, from afar. It's the same Greek word, a word makros, distance. So he's one. Then, seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter, however, followed at a distance. The him is Jesus. Jesus has been arrested. And we see from this point on, many of his followers stop following so close. Peter followed at a distance. That's Luke 22:54. Luke 17:11-13. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Then Luke 15:11-13. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between his sons. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country." Now, each of those stories talk about people being at a distance for whatever reason, we'll look at the reasons, or somebody making it their business to go some distance. There is another final one, and this is more difficult. There is a very serious condition that many of us as Christians can face, and that's about our distance from Jesus, but we may not realize or accept how far we actually are in our relationship from Jesus. And Paul had a clear understanding of this condition. And he wrote in a letter to Timothy, and he wrote this about people who were, and I'll quote, "seared in their own consciences as with a branding iron." That's what he wrote. Something to do with conscience being seared. And then he also said in a letter to the church at Ephesus, he talked about people who had a hardness of heart, who had become callous towards God and others. And again, finally, he said to Timothy, "Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them you may fight the battle well, holding on to a faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so suffered a shipwreck with regards to their faith." That rejection of conscience causes distance between us and God. Now, both of those things, this hardness of heart, this searing of our conscience, they are metaphors. And they're describing the same condition. And this is the condition that creates the distance. Those of us who, through repeated and constant sin, and let's not pretend it doesn't happen, repeated and constant sin, we begin to deceive ourselves that the way we are living is actually okay, that God somehow doesn't really mind it, that we're not doing anything that offends God. And we become convinced, that can't happen, surely. We all know when we're doing wrong. Well, it says in Jeremiah 17, "The heart of man is deceitful beyond all things. Who can cure it?" We have such a great ability for self-deceit. I have such a great ability for self-deceit. We can convince ourselves we're okay with God, whilst at the same time engaging in repeated and constant patterns of behavior or sin or thought that we know is wrong. But the more we do it, Paul says, our consciences become seared, hardened, unable really to accept what's happening as we travel further and further in our relationship from Jesus. So that's the fourth one. They all involve distance, and they all involve distance for different reasons. So Peter followed at a distance. Why did he follow at a distance? What do you think the reasons might have been? Fear? Shame. He just denied Jesus 3 times. So fear and shame, I think, were the strongest motivators, as it were, for Peter to follow at a distance. Now, The 10 lepers. This is an interesting one. I did a lot of research about this, because when I was in Sunday school, as I was once, the sort of thing we were told about leprosy in biblical times, it was a horrendous disease where like limbs and arms and stuff could drop off and all of that. Sadly, that is not the leprosy the Bible speaks about. Absolutely, unambiguously, not at all. That's come about by a mistake in translation. If you look at the Hebrew word in Leviticus, in the Levitical code, where you have to go to the priest and the priest examines and the skin, if you've read it, I won't go into detail, it's about white spots, and if the hair is white coming through the spots, it's all of that stuff. And the Hebrew word quite clearly is a general word for skin conditions. It's a general word for mold and mildew that occurs on clothes, and it's a general word for the rotting and the molding that happens in the fabric of buildings. That's the word, the Hebrew word used all the way through. And it was applied to certain skin diseases, almost certainly not leprosy as we now know it. When they came in the olden days to try and find a Greek word to say the same as that Hebrew word, they came up with the Greek word lepra, which also is a word that just means a variety of skin conditions. That's all it means. You can read backwards it if you want, but it means a variety of skin conditions. And what's more, the Levitical code, Leviticus 13, where you've got to go to the priest and the priest examines you and they describe what the priest is looking for, that does not in any way look like leprosy as we know it. Not in any way at all does it look like it. So, what was happening is people with skin disease, certain skin diseases that the priests looked for, if they had that skin disease, they were ritually unclean. And that's what they were pronounced. They were ritually unclean. And they were excluded for as long as that disease lasted. And so, if you read Leviticus 13, and a number of you will have had a lot of times, they go back to the priest in a week, and the priest examines them again to see if that disease has got better or worse, and they go back again in a week. And if it's got better, they're okay. They're accepted back. Trust me, if it was leprosy as we know it, it wouldn't be getting better in 1 week or 2 weeks or 6 months. It would be getting progressively worse and worse and worse. Now, you might remember this if you've read Leviticus. After that, the priest says, if the lepra, this skin disease, covers your whole body and your whole body goes white, you will be pronounced clean. What's that about? And the reason I'm telling you this, you might be wondering, is because those people who stood at a distance and shouted at Jesus, have mercy on us, they definitely had a skin disease. It was definitely a disease that was visually striking. White blotches, it was visually striking, and they were excluded on the basis of being ritually unclean because of a skin disease, which might or might not have been contagious, by the way. Might or might not. It covered a variety of skin diseases. So we have these people who, because of a skin disease that was no fault of their own, had been declared ritually unclean and excluded from the community. And they felt, because they had been told all of that, they had to stay at a distance. That was the custom. That was the requirement of the law. They had to stand at a distance from everybody. So we have these people, understandably, excluded, feeling excluded, being told they were less than the rest of us. And they stood at a distance and shouted for mercy. Then we have the son, who we call the prodigal son sometimes, because that's the title the Bible gives it, except it's not really the title the Bible gives it. We've given it that title. This son, he believed there was a better way of life away from his father. That's what he believed. He wanted what his father had, but he didn't want to be where his father was. That's the crux of that. He wanted what his father had, but he didn't want to be where his father was. He wanted to take what was his, of his father's inheritance, but then go away and just live the way he wanted and do with it what he wanted. And he set off to put a great distance between him and the father. And then we have the the final one, where we can end up a great distance from Jesus simply because we are not accepting or recognizing the seriousness of some of the ways we are living our lives, thinking our thoughts, treating other people, whatever it is, and we think we can carry on in a close relationship with Jesus whilst clearly engaging in things that Jesus says it's not the right way to live. So there's four ways that distance can come into our relationships. However, when we read, I only took small portions of each of those stories. What happened to Peter regarding Jesus after that episode? He was forgiven, he was restored, he was reunited, and the closeness, he was closer than he'd ever been. He was restored, he was forgiven by Jesus. And what, how did Jesus respond to those who shouted for mercy? Healed all 10. He told them to go to the priest. That was the custom, that was the law. They were still in that old covenant time, and Jesus was that transition. Jesus had mercy on them as they requested. What happened to the guy we call the prodigal son? He realized because all the money had run out. Granted, it's not like he had this blinding light. He realized when the money had run out, not the right decision this, better go back. And who was waiting for him? The Father with open arms. And Scripture tells us, even if we have been on a journey away from Jesus, he is still. Now, when I asked how close God was to us, what was the answer? I got from minus 1 inch to zero, something like that. He is as close as he's ever been. Doesn't matter what distance we have traveled from Jesus, when we turn within our hearts, he is there as close as he's ever been. There is no great journey to travel back for us at all. See, the lepers asked for mercy. They knew what they needed. They needed mercy. Peter experienced grace. Grace and mercy are found in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where we are. If like the lepers, we ask for mercy. If like Peter, we know we're in need of grace. If like the prodigal son, our human resources that we thought were going to be so great run out, the Father is always there waiting, as close as ever he was. If our consciences have been seared as with a hot iron, the Holy Spirit can soften that hardness like that. The instant we say, mercy, grace, Jesus. So as we prepare to share bread and wine together, we are reminded of what Jesus has done for us. He is as close to every one of us as ever he has been. And if there are things today as we take the bread and we drink the wine that we need to say to Jesus in our own hearts, Lord, I need mercy. Lord, grace. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I want to get back on track and follow you closely. Now is the time, because the promise is grace, mercy, forgiveness, closeness, intimacy with Jesus. So let's spend a few moments silently, and then I'll really just remind us what we're doing in communion. And there's a table at the front, tables at the back. It will be silent, and in your own time, just go, if you're here with somebody, go together and share bread and share wine. And we're trusting that if we're going with a heart that's seeking mercy, grace, and forgiveness, with a heart that's saying where it needs to, say sorry, he will meet us there and we will feel his presence and we'll know his presence. So let's just, in this time we just pray, come Holy Spirit, come Lord.